If there's one thing that we go away from today, is to know, it's for us to, for everyone just to know that you're children of God. For those of you who've had difficult relationships with parents in particular, it's quite difficult to understand that. If you have a distant relationships with parents, it's quite difficult to understand. It's quite difficult to feel it. Some people feel it very easily. Other people, it's much more difficult. But the truth is that we have a Father, a Heavenly Father, who loves us. And my walk is gradually receiving that, because I didn't find it easy. Gradually receiving it. Father. Some of that was just my independence. Wanted to do it on my own. So today, we've got a very special person coming to read our three verses from Scripture. Christy, where are you, my friend? Up you come. Christy's going to come and read it. This is from the Old Testament, in the Old Testament, first part of the Bible, Isaiah chapter 58, and it's verses 10 to 12. So he's going to read it. This kind of sets us up, in a sense, gives a scriptural kind of teaching behind the stories of the guys from Moldova. So here we go.
Yeah, morning. Yeah, Tanya. Yeah, if you extended your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continuously and satisfy your soul in the drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall rise up the fountains of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the bridge, the restorer of the streets to dwell in. Amen.
In the version we have in our church here, it's you shall be called restorer, rebuilder of walls, and restorers of broken lives. And we're going to hear now, if Team Moldova would like to come up here, and we're going to hear how these guys were involved in physical restoration and also in spiritual restoration. So this is Brenton, this is Aaron, and this is Pete. And together we're going to walk through, hopefully with some pickies. Have we got some pickies? Yeah, lovely. We're going to walk through a kind of testimony of what they did. But the exciting thing is I'm going to link it in to what you did, many of you who were here, who listened to the Lord and prayed for them. We'll see how it all worked together. So, Aaron.
Hi. Right, we went to Moldova with an organization called Mission Direct. It's a charity that takes volunteers across the world, working in partnership with local communities and projects, bringing practical help, hope, and change to people's lives. We had to raise the money to go on mission. We paid what we could ourselves. We also done some work for people to raise funds. And people also kindly donated money when they heard what we were doing. I say a big thank you to everyone that helped to get us out there. And I also thank everyone for their prayers. You've changed people's lives.
Brilliant. Thank you. Do we have the film? Just the short one. Okay. So we've only got the short one. So,
okay. While we were out in Moldova, we was renovating houses for poor people. We met this family. They was basically living in a shed, one-room shed, family of three. And the big house was crumbling down. So we went in. We laid the floor. We'd done plastering. We painted the place. So now they can move in there. They've got a big radiator, so because it gets minus 30 in the winter. So it's called like a sauba, which is a hollow wall with a cooker in it. And when they burn fire in it, it heats the wall up. So it just sorts the house out. While we were there, we'd done many other things. God went before us. We met a team from Iris Ministries, a prayer team. We spent a week with them. We spent a week with them, going around doing lots of things. We went to a lot of projects. We went to a church called Tabitha Dorka, and we met a team from YWAM. While we were there, we cooked for 20 homeless people. I said, we cooked for them, we served them, and we served them, and we gave our testimony. Brenton gave his testimony, I gave mine, and Pete said a prayer at the end. There was a man there and his partner, he was full of tattoos of guns and cannabis leaves. He started crying. People come up to us at the end and wanted prayer. And one of the guys we prayed for had AIDS. And we all prayed for him. And he repented his sins to Jesus there and then. Another thing we done, we went to the Phoenix Center for Disabled Children, which was brilliant. The kids were fantastic. It's built to British standard. And it's the only one in Moldova. So that was good. And we also went to a rehab center, which was run by a Jewish lady. She'd opened her house up to recovering addicts. And the only rules, really, were that they had to go to church and be clean, of course. They could stay there for as long as they wanted. One person had been there for 5 years. But Pete gave his testimony. We all prayed. One of the girls from the Irish team wanted to wash the lady's feet, so she done that. We all held hands and prayed. The spirit filled the room that day. It was awesome. We used to work for a woman called Carmen, and we used to go to Bible classes with her with adults and children. On one of the occasions, the children just started praying for us, which was awesome. So that's it, really, Silas.
Now, we've got a. Are we going to see? Hold it. It's all ready to go, is it? Lovely. So, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to give that to you. So, 4 weeks ago.
Stole the script.
What? No. I'm just explaining something. This here is what Pete had this in his hand. Okay. And it says, Moldova Words from Hope. And then 4 weeks ago, whenever it was, we prayed, we put them up front here, and we asked God to speak to us words that would encourage them. And I'm just going to read one of them out. It's this. Have you got it up there? No. The other one? You got the other one? Don't worry if you haven't, I'll just read it. It's fine. Three mighty men. Okay. Who wrote that? That was you. Okay. That is so cool. Okay, this is Serena here. Serena, You wrote that. You had no idea. Okay. The word was, three mighty men. Although what you have in your hand may be small, God is going to use it mightily. I got the picture of you throwing stones across water so that they skim. Each stone created a ripple. Now, when we ask God to speak to us, he will, if we have the courage to write it down. Serena had the courage to write it down and to hand it in. And so did many of you, and they're all here. Pete, do you want to take up the story? Explain that. You see that? Watch this film. And then Pete, you explain the thing. Okay, go back to the film. Here we go. Watch this.
There you are. prophetic was that? Yeah, it was just...
Your part in it, Pete, though, what you said.
I was just watching him, and it suddenly went, hang on a minute. And it clicked. That's what someone had done. And I got that. I kept that on me. And I dug it out, and I said, lads, this is... Someone said this was going to happen. So I had a look, and it was. So, Serena, yeah, it came true. And we did create ripples over there. Very, touched a lot of lives, yeah. But all these were very dear to us. There was another one that came true, but Brenton will tell you about that. But all these meant so much. And it, someone said as well, you'd be like fishers of men. And we were. I mean, we can sit here and try and big ourselves up or whatever, but it's not. It was just God was using us. We're just tools at his command, and he used us. And my goodness, didn't he ever use us? It was just incredible. We had a few ideas of what we were going to do. Aaron said, let's help the people. We're buying some chickens to poor families. So went to the market. Bought the most skankiest chickens I've ever seen in my life. I think we'd have bought them anyway, just to free them. You know, they were all piled. Oh, anyway, so we took them round to the families, and one old lady was actually crying, and I'm like, wow, this is really like affecting people. And we were constantly told, look, what you're doing, these people aren't going to forget. They're not going to forget. But it was the actual... We were all touched very, very spiritually. I've never been kind of touched that much. God was just talking to us constant. It would have been nice to have had longer. We didn't get any sightseeing. We didn't expect that. But you know what? We didn't... The outreach was amazing. And... We met some broken people, but when you prayed for them, you can see that light come on in their eyes, and there's some hope there, and that's what it's about. That's all we can do. A lot of people said you must have found it very sad, a bit depressing. You can't change everyone, and you can't change the world, can we? But you can do a little bit, and we can do our bit, and that's what we did. But these words... meant so much in your prayers. We were all there. You were all there. And it was, someone said, it's like another little boat going out from hope. And yeah, actually ended up in a boat in the end, but going up the river.
What happened in that boat?
What happened in the boat stays in the boat. we were getting on so well before... So they stuck us in a kayak, and it all went a bit.
We found out one of us was a soldier, not a sailor.
Peter.
I was in the front really going for it, and Aaron said before, oh yeah, I want to do whitewater rafting. And I thought, okay, So I got them right out in the middle, and the waves were coming up, and you were getting a bit frantic. And he said, Pete, we ought to be at the side. Look, everyone else is at the side. It's like, this is what you wanted. We're doing it. And we were cracking it. What I didn't realise was, poor Aaron behind. I just would have been pouring buckets of water over him. Bless him, he was soaked. So, yeah.
How was the language?
Lord.
No, I didn't mean the language in the boat. I meant, yeah.
Oh,
you and Moldovan, you know. People.
What, in general?
Sorry, I just know what the language was about in the boat. But Pete, you said what was in the boat stays in the boat, so we don't want to tell a story,
it's
really,
not going
do we?
There.
Was there any more?
I can't say too much. Anyway, yeah.
Anyway.
But so, yeah, just thank you for that, and thank you for your prayers.
Yeah. Well done, Pete. So, Brenton. There's Brenton's daughter, Lateo, was playing the drums with me just out there. Thank you. So, there was a second word, which we want to kind of draw your attention to. So I'm going to read it out. Actually, can I have it up there, the other word? Have you got the one? As you arrive, I suppose it's out there, a young boy is going to come around you guys. He will share his story with you. Honesty is in something's help. Is in serious help. Honesty? Is that help. God bless you. Amen. So as you arrive out there, a young boy, I'll read it from here, is going to come around you guys, and he will share his story with you. Was that someone from here? Who gave that word? Okay, must have been someone who was there that day. This very thing happened. There's one thing about kind of skimming the stones, a picture of something that was going to happen. But something as direct as this. Brenton, tell that.
Hi, Al. Yeah. So this little boy, he'd been through quite a lot. When we first went to the family's house, you know, it was amazing just connecting them, really, not being able to speak their language. But because we were there a lot, it just felt like we knew them for a long time, you know, just by them coming up every day, you know, and just asking for our phones, you know, and luckily I'd load the games on there, you know, from the tears, and, you know, kept them quiet. But, you know, we'd play football, and even though we couldn't speak to them, you know, certain things, you know, we just like, you know, signs or just knowing what they meant by, you know, their expressions and that. But we got really close to him. And this one boy, Vasil, his name was, he was actually doing work in his auntie's house. At first, I thought it was his mum, but it was his auntie. And so his brother used to come over as well. They just lived up the road. But so one day, there was a guy outside, and he was ranting and raving. And we didn't know who he was, but it turns out he was a policeman. And someone's house had been robbed in the area, and he was like the local suspect. I found that out after. But yeah, he used to get up to all sorts. He actually his stepdad hung himself a few months before, which kind of really affected him. And but he'd been put into care. He'd been put into care by his mum, and his sister, who was doing really well at school, so she put her in care as well as to keep him company, you know. And I just thought that was really bad, really sad, you know. But you know, after to getting to know this boy, you know, he was a good lad. We was told like to keep watching our bags, because even though he likes you, he'll still rob your bags, you know. But You know, nothing never went missing, you know, and you know, I just took to this little lad, you know, straight away. So then Steve said, you know, could I have a little word with him? So me and Carmen, who was like the people from Irish Mission, they were staying with her, and he was like working alongside her. So we went to the back of the garden, the Carmen translated what I wanted to say to him, and it was amazing really, because after Carmen said to me all the things that I said to him, that's what he's doing, you know. So I didn't want to start telling, you know, how God had changed my life, you know. I just wanted to keep it simple and just say to him what I used to do when I was his age, you know, and where it took me to prison, you know, and basically do bad things happen, good things happen, you know. But, you know, I told him, like, you know, things start off small, like, you know, I used to steal motorbikes, but progress to cars, used to rob sheds, and that went on to houses, you know. And just, and it turned out, you know, that's sort of all the things, you know, he's doing. Well, after we had a talk, you know, I don't know, you know, when you just, even though I'm talking to the lady and she's translating it, you can see, like, the guy is really connected with me on a deeper level, you know. And and she was saying after, you know, he really took on board what you said, and I just thought that it was, you know, really amazing just to be able to do that, you know. And we took them all out, we took them and we bought them new shoes, like the whole family, and we got a hamper. We didn't want to get for his auntie, but not his mum, because his mum used to come over as well. I think they're going to do some work on her house next time. But we got them both like a food hamper, you know, like washing stuff and all toiletries and food. We got like both families some. We took them out to the beach and just had good fun with them, even though we couldn't speak Moldovan, you know. But it was quite sad when we left. Even the little dog, there used to be this little dog from up the street. He used to come and we used to put all the breakfast in the hotel. We used to just put so much breakfast out, and Pete would be there with his doggy bag putting all the food in, and we'd take it and we'd give it to the family, and there's this little dog, and I got a video of the little dog, and even when we would go and I took a picture and the dog looked so sad. You know? But he'd come up to us wagging his tail, but he had a bad leg, a limp, where someone had mistreated him, you know, but he was wagging his tail and he'd run around. We used to give him like salami and ham. It was a lovely dog. Yeah. With Carmen, she got 12 dogs. 12 dogs, yeah. Yeah, she rescues street dogs. So, and it's quite amazing, really, because she's out there on her own. She's been out there about 3 years. And you know, and she just lives by faith. And when we was in the rehab, the lady was saying to her, like, you know, I'm a people person, you know, I have all these people in the rehab around me. She said, I don't know how you do it, living out there on your own. You know, she's like, I got my dogs, you know. But, you know, but you can see she really loves animals. I think she's an amazing person, like all the work she's doing out there. And but she's looking for like long-term volunteers to come out with her. But yeah, it's just, the whole trip was just, it was a real intimate trip. More so than Cambodia. At first I was a bit worried, not worried, but I was like, oh, it's a shame just 3 of us is going, you know. But I think how the trip turned out, because they amended the schedule, the timetable of what we was doing, because there was 3 of us, you could have been flexible, you know. I think it worked, you know. God had a plan, you know, from the start, and even us going to a rehab and cooking food for the homeless people. And you know, a lot of them had drug. We were praying for one guy, you know, couldn't even stand up. You can smell the alcohol on him. Another guy, you know, he was telling us how he's hooked on synthetic heroin. And straight away, you know, I feel a connection with these people, and he's saying to us, you know, like he's got off it before, you know, but he can't do it. And straight away, I just relate to him, you know. But it was quite powerful to be praying for someone, and you feel inside what you know, what you want for them, you know. But yeah, it was just amazing because the homeless place where because Aaron cooked bangers and mash, we cooked for them bangers and mash and gravy. But when we went back, when we cooked the food, yeah, we went back to the same place, the homeless place, on a Sunday, and we held church service there. And that's when Pete gave his testimony. And yeah, it was just amazing because some of the people that was actually at the place come back as well. But yeah, it was like, the whole schedule worked good with us three because we were in addiction, you know, and it was quite intimate and personal. Even with the families, you know, just getting to know them, it was a real experience, you know. Yeah, I'm just rabbiting on now. Yeah.
Thank you, guys. So, here we are, human beings on earth, and we have a Father in heaven who likes to speak. And when we listen to what he says, a whole new world opens up, and it's called the Kingdom of God. For he has plans for us to prosper us, not to harm us, plans to give us a future. Now, he has plans for us. Other things happen to us as well. But he has plans for us. And as we pursue his plans for us and listen and then go, as these guys did, you have the excitement of walking into the things of God. In the place of the things of God and the experience of life, there are negative things. When I say in the place of things of God, there are things that happen in life that come against us. God doesn't bring those against us, but things happen. But if we focus on those things and live our life thinking, why has this happened, and why has this happened, and why has this happened? The problem is you miss out on what God will do with us. The problem is we miss out on what God will do with us if we say, I'll focus on your plans, Lord. In this church, we have a passionate desire to be involved in reaching out to the people who, for whatever reason, often they're not even their own fault, have hit rock bottom. And we have always worked with people from prison, the homeless, addicts. But the purpose of doing that is not to leave people as that. The purpose of doing that is to do exactly what's happened here, is God restores people, so that they can then help others in a way that there's no way I could have done any of what they were talking about there. The ripple effect. It's amazing. So if you are part, if you have on your heart this particular, we just have lots of different things here, but one thing is the most broken in the city. If that is on your heart, would you come forward now? I haven't asked these guys this, but guys, trust me. Would you come forward? And we're going to pray for you. And it's just going to be a very simple. In fact, I think what it is, what we'll do is quite simple. We'll just stand. And I'm going to ask these guys, and by the way, there's no professional way of praying, just to pray over them. Because what we have, in spiritual terms, what you have, you can pass on. And so all you do, guys, if you don't know how to pray anything, just say, God, hit them. That's your prayer. Hit them. Okay? Because the Holy Spirit, so as you stand, you're agreeing with God's call in your life to be real rebuilder of broken walls, restorer of dwellings. Christy, can you come here as well, please, because you're involved in that. Sarah, can you come here? I know there's lots of people, but I'm just choosing a few people who I know this is right at the center of your heart, okay? So, okay, we've got 3 minutes left of our time together. We're just going to do it very, very simply here, okay? If that is on your heart, if you burn with that particular passion, okay, can you stand now? Lovely. Fantastic. Okay, and now I'm going to hand the microphone over to you guys. There's no there's no magic way of praying, but just, can you just pray?
Lord, may you just come into these people today, stand in. May you just bless them and come into their heart and their spirit, Lord, and just restore them, Lord. Just show them your love and repair them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Hit them.
Father, you're looking down on us all here today, and all of us, and just bless us all here. And we're all part of rebuilding the walls of this city, and not just this city, cities all around the world. And it's going to be a big fire, and we're all part of it. It might be a small spark now, but my goodness, it's working. Let's not get tired of doing good. And Lord, you know these people's gifts. We've all got certain gifts. Just use them like you've used us now. And just pour your love down on us now. And support us all in the church. If someone else is, then prop them up. In your holy name. Amen.
Yeah, just pray for everyone. This is a good testimony, and now God can work in people that are broken, you know, and I can restore restoration people, you know. So whatever's going on for you, everyone's got their own individual problems, I know that. But I ask the Lord to knock it out the park today for you. Amen.
Yeah, Jesus, you have such a heart for the poor and for the people who don't fit in, Jesus, and I just pray that you'd give us that heart as well, and just have our ears open to accept words from people that we don't expect them from, or people who we might not see as like the traditional church types, Jesus. I just pray that you'd turn our eyes around and help us to see where your priorities are. Amen.
Amen. Wonderful. So be filled and with the Spirit and commissioned. And if you saw someone standing and you felt the Lord say something to you for them, please give that to them in the same way you gave these guys the words. Now, a couple of years ago, Hannah, who is standing there, sitting there, Hannah, could you just stand? Just for a minute. There's Hannah. Lovely. Thank you, Hannah. Just identifying her. Hannah had something in her heart, and she went to a country just on her own. And then she came back and she said, I'd really like to go with a team from Hope. And then 15 of us, including these three guys, went to Cambodia. So we went kind of out to Cambodia. And then these guys, have you heard, said, hey, we're not hanging around. We want to go again. So they've been to Moldova. And now Annie is going to tell you, because there might be some of you who are here thinking, hey, I want to do this, get involved. Annie's going to say, we're going to finish with this. She's just going to tell you of something that's coming up.
Thanks. Not this October, but next October, so October 2017, we have an opportunity to go to Uganda. To a little place called Kumi, where we can go and help to build school classrooms, and then there's lots of orphanages with children who are orphaned because of HIV that we'll be able to play with and entertain and share Jesus' love with. So the dates are the 30th of September to the 15th of October 2017, which I know is bang in term time, so I'm very sorry about that. But... And we, you know, as you know, we've got five kids, and we have just come out the other side of school rhythms, and we're so excited because it means we can go away and do these fun things. I know that many of you aren't in that position, and let me tell you, I understand, and bless you as you bring up your kids and minister locally. But if you are able to come to Kumi with us next October, come and talk to Ray or me as we're going to be organising that trip. It's with Mission Direct again, so it's the same bunch.
May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may he cause his face to shine on all of you this week and your family and your colleagues and your dogs, as Brenton has suggested. And may you know his peace. And thank you for being with us this morning. And maybe one more round of applause for the boys.